Yankees win!
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
We lost a $900 million bid to buy the LA Rams.
Look, that contract extension was for $176 million.
The stadium will cost $1.1 billion.
Champions are made and cash always follows. But where did it all start? These are the true stories of the blockbuster sports deals that went down in the locker room, boardroom, and between the lines that made many people very, very wealthy. From Entrepreneur Media, this is The Playbook. I'm CEO of Sports One Marketing and your host, Dave Meltzer. I have a very unique guest. This is a person that you may know the name, you know, may know the background, but Jordan Palmer. He is an extraordinary football coach, but most people don't know that he's even, in my opinion, a better entrepreneur. And he can give us a lot of good tips for the playbook on not only the business of sports, but how to be an entrepreneur and what it takes to be successful. Starting with, I'm going to ask about your background, but we probably will want to start with your dad, because I think a lot of your spirit, this entrepreneur spirit that you have, comes from growing up in a household, you know, with exceptional men. And I'm sure your mom was great, but when you think about your brother and your dad, I'm like, holy shit, like this guy grew up to be successful no matter what it was he's going to do. So Jordan, why don't you give us a little bit of background?
Yeah, well, first, Dave, thanks for having me. I love sharing my story. I feel like the places where I've made strides in my life, in my business career, my football career, growing as a man, growing as a husband and a father, I've been hearing other people's stories. So appreciate you giving me the chance to share mine. You know, my last name is Palmer, and so it's known, it's synonymous with football and my brother's amazing career, but you're absolutely right. I mean, my dad,
For those idiots like me that may not know it, but Jordan is Carson Palmer's brother.
Yep.
Is he older or younger than you?
He's 5 years older. That's and I take personal offense when people ask me that, because I really look like I'm 38.
No, I don't think you look that way, but the audience is out there.
I know.
Not looking at you, man. You got a face for radio.
Five years younger. I got countless noogies growing up and right. Reggies and all that stuff. But no, my dad, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. My dad, you know, at the end of his career was the vice president of John Hancock Investors had a bunch of teams of a ton of people underneath him. And so it was us coming home every day from practice and watching my dad come home from work. And he would say what's up to us. He would go upstairs and dive into his Bible for an hour. And then he would come down and spend the rest of the night with us and be off of his phone and not returning emails or anything. And so I think it was just seeing that every single day. And then going to company retreats with my dad, you know, just Disney World as a family vacation.
I have a quick question, because I'm a spiritual guy.
Yeah.
When your dad went upstairs from work and did an hour of Bible study,
yeah.
Did he come down and did he message that stuff at night? I know he turned off his phone and everything, but was there always a message? Could you tell there was a theme? Like, okay, he read a passage, he studied, he meditated on it. Now he's kind of empowering us with that message that day.
I mean, it sounds counterintuitive, but no, I mean, it wasn't. Yeah. I think the coolest thing was he always just led by example. And so I learned how to work hard and focus and compartmentalize by watching, as opposed to by him cramming it down our throats and making us do it.
Awesome.
My dad also, I mean, he had two sons that played football and they both went to the league, and yet he didn't play football. He didn't pretend to know football.
Wow.
He stayed out of the way and supported us, you know, emotionally, spiritually, and financially as best as he could.
Did he go to the games?
Never missed one.
I figured.
So that's Carson awesome. Played at USC for 4 years. And then when he won the Heisman, I started as a freshman the next year. So for 8 years, they didn't miss a college football game. It was a pretty good run for them.
Road and home?
Every game.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Good thing he made some money.
Exactly.
They were
flying.
Not cheap.
They were flying at the time from Boston to El Paso to go watch games. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
But yeah,
did he learn football through that? Like,
he does.
Did you see that?
I still get frustrated in conversations, but no, he knows. He knows so much. And what's cool is, and we'll get into kind of what I do, but
yeah.
He's actually involved in my camps now, helping mentor the parents through the process. So he's just a guy who's always led by example, you know, just putting simple quotes in our heads that have stayed with me. And I pass on to younger players of, you know, show me, don't tell me, act like you've been there before. Things like that.
And I got to stop you on the act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
My freshman year, I got toasted. And we almost lost the game, my first game against Menlo Park, mm-hmm. but I returned the kick for a touchdown. And the defensive coordinator didn't even want me to return the kick because I was crying, and mm-hmm. he told me not to go for the pick. But I did a flip in the end zone and came run to the defensive coordinator, flipped the ball and said, money, money. And he looked at me and he goes,
act like you've been here before. Yeah. And it totally hit home as a freshman, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I was out of my head excited.
Absolutely.
But I looked like an idiot.
Yeah. And after you got toasted and started crying, act like you've been toasted before.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's part of the game.
So I got toasted again, though, just so everyone knows.
Both sides of it. So, yeah, my dad is an amazing influence for us. I also have another brother. When we were, he's 20 years older than me. And when I was a little kid, he was in the Army and was a badass dude up in Anchorage, Alaska, and kicking ass and taking names. And so, yeah, I just had a bunch of great men in my life, starting in my family. And then obviously all the coaches I played for and the mentors that I've had.
And what are you doing now?
So now I kind of break my time up, kind of 80-20. So 80% of my time I run my business and 20% of my time I spend with quarterbacks. On the 20% side of it for quarterbacks, I do four things. One, I train some of the top players every year for the NFL draft. So from January to March, I expedite the process of them becoming, air quotes here, a pro.
Right. And you teach them not only to be a pro on the field, but Warren, my partner, Warren Moon, and I know you guys work with players at API early on, and Warren was really excited to work with you. And he said, when he came back to me, because we work with Clarkson, Whitfield, and you, he said, what makes it amazing is you teach them to truly be a professional off the field, and you're not blowing smoke up them, right? You tell them, like, you coach Deshaun Watson right now, and you keep it real, and you're like, look, you got to work on this. You know, everyone else is telling you you're the greatest in sliced bread, but every year I hear who's the greatest, and it takes a lot more than what you think.
Well, because I've been around so many great players, I can tell players straight up to their face, look, I'm not impressed.
Nice.
Here's all the things you have to do to get better. And so
do any of them ever want to fire you after you tell them that? Because egos are in the way?
No, because the part of the process for me is because 80% of my time, which I'll get to, I run a business. When I coach 20% of my time, I only get to I only coach the people I want to.
Right.
I don't coach anybody because I have to earn a dollar and pay rent and support my family. And so, yeah, I got to train this kid. So Mr. Manziel the dad didn't get a phone call back from me, you know, and those
or, go or down Warren, you know, that's why we broke up with Whitfield is we refused to work with him. We refused to go to this Del Mar Fair with him, the racetrack.
So for me, I get to train the guys that I want to train. And those are the guys who are all in, hanging on every word and are seriously interested in reaching their potential and being great. So on the draft side, I try and train them to be a triple threat. It's kind of what I call. So on the physical side of it, learn how to correct yourself mechanically. On the mental side of it, you know, you've got to be able to process large amounts of information really, really quickly. You know, an NFL play call is H set to gun spread right H, hot dual China drive F read, alert Mustang dragon on a white one. But when you play at Clemson as Deshaun and you have red right all go and you just clap and the guy snaps it to you, there's a gap you got to make up. And so on the physical side, how do we get you to self-correction? On the mental side, how do we teach you how to learn? But then the most important piece, the third part of being a triple threat is off the field. What are you doing with your platform? How are you leading? How do you go about your business? What kind of husband are you going to be? How do you treat women? How do you take coaching? I've just seen guys that are super, super talented that aren't triple threats and you don't know their names.
Yeah.
But the ones who are triple threats, you know those names. That's Drew Brees. That's Troy Aikman. That's Carson Palmer.
Right.
That's Tom Brady. And those are the names you know. And from my vantage point, they're triple threats. They're not just talented.
And where do you think Cam Newton falls?
You know, I've never worked with Cam personally. Uh-huh. So
Just watching him on and off the field.
Physically, he's off the charts. Yeah. When I do breakdown tape, I think there's a gap between him and the other quarterbacks in the league. I think they keep it very simple, and I think he makes routine mistakes over and over again.
Yeah.
I think he made Von Miller the MVP of the Super Bowl. He got 11 and a half yards on a drop where you're only supposed to go 9.5 and hitch up in the pocket. At 11 and a half yards, Von Miller has a straight shot and the tackle can't cut you off. So when he has that sack fumble at the end of the Super Bowl, my brother and I, just the two of us, are watching that Super Bowl sitting here going, he just gave Von Miller $50
million. Wow. You know what it was that I saw? And I'm an emotional guy. I'm an inspirational guy. But I am a student of football. What I noticed most of all, and we coach Cam, we help Cam, was the thing that bothered me most is, you know, obviously that game got a little bit big for him real early. He overthrew. He hadn't done it in weeks, right? He wasn't performing. He's excited, so his drop was deeper. But the thing that really stood out to me was when he was knocked down, which hadn't happened in a while, none of his guys helped him up. Right. And so we talked about that, Warren and I, about why is it as a leader, right? You talk about being a husband, good to women, also good to your teammates. Mm-hmm. You know, what was going on with the whole Superman, I'm bigger than my team, mm-hmm. which never happens in New England, right? Tom Brady's never bigger than his team.
No,
like they announced the whole team.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that to me resonated like, man, you know, as a little guy, I want everybody helping me up,
yeah.
let alone I'm the quarterback.
Well, when you have somebody as talented as Cam, but then with those, I call them deficiencies, then you're going to have the career that he's had. You're going to have a slow start, huge high peak, MVP of the NFL.
Yeah.
Right? And then slump last year. And then we'll see what happens this year. And right. then we'll have the net. And it's just going to be highs and lows as opposed to Drew Brees, who throws for 4,500 yards every single year.
Yeah. Well, right? Exactly. No, let's move to the business side because this is, you know, with Jordan Palmer, this is Entrepreneurs, the Playbook. You are a truly, I mean, great football player. Wasn't quite as good as your brother, and you're a realist about it. I'm not insulting you.
No.
Everybody has their level. But moreover, you're like an exceptional entrepreneur. So give us a little bit of background on what you're doing and how you got there.
Yeah. So, boy, you referenced it. I mean, because I learned, look, I think being self-aware is super, super important for entrepreneurs, for athletes, all that. I want to make one point. I believe that particularly when you play at a professional level, all professional athletes are entrepreneurs. So in my football career, if I had a good year, I could make a couple hundred grand. If I had a great year, I could get a new contract and get a couple million bucks. And if I would have played out of my mind and the stars aligned, I could make never work again money.
Right.
But I also had 2 years where I made $0. I got cut. I turned in my playbook. I worked out for a bunch of teams. I moved back in with my parents and I was working out, making $0.
So those two famous words, radical humility.
It's you're an entrepreneur,
right?
And so the players, there's a reason, and I end up because I've had success off the field. I'm the guy that a lot of guys come to when they're retiring from football, and you know, what do I do next, and how do you get plugged into this? And the reality is that I started a business my rookie year in the NFL because it stands for not for long, and I knew that. And I knew the gap between my brother and I. And I said, well, shoot, if that's what it takes to succeed, then I'm going to have to continue to work the way that I'm working and get lucky.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never started a game in the NFL in 10 years. Every year that I was the two, which was like 5 or 6 years, no one got hurt.
Right.
Everybody stayed completely healthy. So I started doing double duty. So my entire NFL career during the season on Mondays and Tuesday nights, I'd be on conference calls, Friday nights. And then if we had a day game, I'd be on the phone all night, Sunday night. And I just grinded it out.
Nice.
And when the season ended, I moved back home and I went right to work from Monday to Friday, you know, 9 to 5.
And now you have a successful business. What do you guys do?
Yeah. So, so I kind of fell in love with branding and the marketing side of things. And my high school teammate, childhood friend, business partner, his name's Taylor Holiday. I like to tell people I have LeBron James on my team.
Nice.
He understands the world of e-commerce and how to sell products on the internet.
I like to tell people I have Warren Moon on my team.
There you go. Yeah, it's figurative and literally, yeah. You know, we just had he has a really deep understanding, had it in the beginning, a really deep understanding of what it takes to sell products on the internet. And so that manifested itself by us picking a client. We said, what's the coolest product that we feel like is underserved? And it was, at the time it was Evo Shield.
Yep.
Really cool. Every
protective, you know, gear.
Protective gear. So yep. I pitched them, flew to Bogart, Georgia 4 times, landed the account, doubled their online revenue, said, okay, cool. We can do this for somebody else. And we started to parlay it. And this was while I was playing. And then, you know, two guys started a company called Kalo, Q-A-L-O. They make functional wedding bands for couples living an active lifestyle.
I just got two, 20th anniversary, I guess, got them as a gift.
Awesome. So, you know, you'll see Steph Curry, Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, Kirk Cousins, a lot of guys wearing these. And it's grown to about 100 employees in 4 years. So Taylor and I became came owners in that business by providing services in exchange for equity. Grew it and then parlayed that into starting an agency called Common Thread Collective. And so we help help brands scale their online revenue. So we work with big brands like Lululemon and North Face and all the way down to helping brands off Kickstarter. And we've grown an agency that's scaling really, really quickly right now. And we've made a couple acquisitions in the last few years to build it out.
We're going to be feeding you more. We just went through 90, you know, we did the elevator pitch for Entrepreneur Magazine, yeah. The TV show, extended us out 2 more seasons, but we had 90 companies, all different levels.
Yeah.
So they're all, believe it or not, of course, looking for what you're doing. And I think you're sitting in a tremendous space. So,
well, they all will be, because I would say that right now we're talking to some, and I'll omit names, but we're talking to some, when I say big brands, I'm talking about the biggest brands in the world.
Before we continue the interview, here's a word from our sponsor. Champions have tools that help them win, ranging from the strict diets to the shoes they choose to wear.
When they go to the boardroom, a single tool stands out to make sure they are productive and get the best deal possible. Their Black Moleskin Notebook from Best Self Company. Check out the Best Self Journal at bestself.co. That's bestself.co. Okay, let's get back to the interview.
They're built on the back of retail. Retail's dying, and they're reaching out to us and saying, how do we do this e-commerce thing the right way? And it's not a person. You know, a lot of these questions, these conversations are starting with who should we hire to be our CMO, when really it's an infrastructure problem. These brands that have been built on the backs of retail, they think digital is a position or an office or a group of people, when really everything is digital. Point of sale at retail, e-commerce, social media, every aspect of your business is digital.
Right.
And so it's an infrastructure problem. So I have a 4-bedroom house, and if I wanted to change the kitchen or, you know, convert an office into a bedroom, I could do that. But if I wanted to turn it into 4 1-bedroom unit condos, I'd just have to tear the house down because I'd have to redo all the plumbing and I'd have to have a new staircase. And how do you get in there?
Yeah.
And so these brands are going through this, and we're walking some major, major brands through this right now.
It's amazing because in the 1999, 2000, being CEO of Samsung's first phone, right, the PCE phone, I was with Verizon trying to get it tested and approved on the network. And they couldn't understand at that time, and it's really a similar situation, that voice was data. Mm. Right, they said we don't know how to build data, because I had the first data device, right? Yeah. It's a CE device, and I said, no, you're missing it. And I think the same thing holds true with digital, right? Everything's digital.
Absolutely,
it's not a transformation; it's just a monetization and understanding it. Well, let's get to a few more questions to help the audience learn how you become successful as a person. One is, everybody makes mistakes. Mm. So I was curious if you'd share with us what you think, you know, your biggest mistake or the dummy tax that you paid that we can share with the audience so they don't make the same mistake.
Yeah, I think the first thing is, and this is, so on the quarterback side of the things for me, you know, I train guys for the draft. I've got NFL clients. I run my camps where I have the top high or a bunch of high school kids come in and the top college kids come in and pay to be a part of it. Or they are my coaching staff. And so when I'm talking to high school, college, or NFL quarterbacks, it's the same thing I would say to a young entrepreneur. In my opinion, confidence is absolutely by far and away the most important trait in an athlete or in an entrepreneur. And confidence is not a God-given thing. It's not hereditary. It's not bestowed upon you. It's a muscle. And if I pick up something heavy with my right arm every day, all day long, and I eat good things and I don't put bad things in my body, my right arm is going to get stronger. And I believe that confidence is the same way. So as a quarterback, if I believe that that's the number one most important trait, then why would I spend any time on anything else? Now, there's going to be some ancillary benefits developed everywhere else on mechanics on this. But in reality, with a quarterback, if we're going to go out and throw today and we're going to work on something mechanical, it doesn't mean that when you start the season, you start up 7 because you worked so hard all in the offseason. It's still 0-0. So really all we're training is the confidence in your ability to make that throw, to do that thing. So in entrepreneurship, I think it's you have two races. It's a race to figure out what is the area, the field, the task, the trait, the role that you are most confident in. And then once you find that thing, then it's how fast can you go.
Right on.
And so confident, I wouldn't spend a ton of time on anything outside of establishing what you're most confident in and what's the sharpest part of your tool. And I have a 20-month-old son, and I'm more obsessed with being a dad than anything ever in my life. And I'm just absolutely head over heels right now. And my goal, I think about this a lot. The goal for my son is not for him to play quarterback or for him to be a surfer. Now, he throws footballs and he surfs.
Right?
But I'm not going to jam anything down his throat. Again, like we talked about with my dad, my goal for him is to figure out what he's best at and loves doing faster than everyone his age.
That's awesome.
I think he'll dominate if those two simple things happen. And so I would say to young entrepreneurs, it's whatever you're doing, if you don't have the skills and the experience to be confident in that thing, then find something else or focus on developing confidence in that thing. I didn't learn how to play confident football until my 3rd year in the NFL. And I can't imagine how good I would have been if I would have developed it in high school.
Right. Well, let me change the way you look at things. I mentor a lot of guys, and what you talk about, I think, is the right things to teach. But let me try to give you a different perspective. Yeah. I believe confidence is halfway there. And so for me, when you think about what you want, it's a possibility. And then halfway to probability of it happening is confidence, right? We have to have clarity, balance, and focus that allows us to be confident. Where I would enhance what you teach is that I believe inspiration is even more important to live an inspired life, to enjoy the pursuit of your potential as a surfer, as a football player, whatever it is. So where we complement each other and I can enhance even what you teach is that imagine being inspired all the time, which is a level above confidence, right? When we're in spirit, when we're inspired, and how do we teach people to stay inspired? Because you bend time, right? You bend reality with inspiration. And then these are imagination principles that I've created to take confidence to inspiration. But then what you do, and you don't articulate it, but I know you do, is you teach discipline, strategy, and awareness. We talk about it all the time. It's one thing when I met you and really got to know you, when we got to have a nice long drive home from the ESPYs, was, wow, this guy is present and aware, and he gets discipline, strategy, and awareness. And what that allows you to do, take confidence from a possibility, inspiration makes it a probability. But if you could teach somebody discipline, strategy, and awareness, it'll make the probability their perspective or their reality. So, you know, just something to chew upon, how do I also teach inspiration, which takes that confidence to the next level.
And
they're very closely tied. And you know, I'm 50% of the time wrong. So you can say BS, Dave.
Well, I would say if you said list two, the second thing I would say is outlook is everything. I'm genuine believer. You know, my quarterback coaching business, it's called QB Summit. And it really is just about reaching the summit for these guys. And you know, that's to start three games in high school, you know, and that's your potential, the roadmap for that. And that's the summit for you. Then go 3-0.
I love your hat too. Is that the QB Summit hat? Yeah. He has a summit on his hat.
Yeah.
I love that. Cause it's enjoying your pursuit of your potential.
It's a journey. Like it's highs and lows. I always say there's two things that will strike a quarterback. The same thing for an entrepreneur. So two things will inevitably strike you, and it's success and adversity. And for a quarterback, success could be three really good throws in a row in practice or Super Bowl.
Right.
And adversity could be three bad throws in a row in practice, who cares, or devastating injury at the worst time. But it's your whole career and entrepreneurship. So I've been a part of a bunch of startups, you know?
Not all of them successful.
No. And so when you do this, it's seriously just a series of highs and lows. And if you go into it knowing that, right?
Yeah.
If I go into it knowing that there's going to be highs and lows, and I want to handle success really well, and I want to handle adversity really well. I don't want to do a backflip after I take one back to the house.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to cry after I get burnt.
Yeah.
If I can handle success and adversity really well, and I anticipate that they're coming, then it just, I become less reactionary, and I get to be able to just go ahead and enjoy this pursuit. Cause I can honestly say, I've looked back, I've played on seven teams, which means I've been fired seven times before I turned 28.
Yeah.
Right. And those are devastating. It's not like, oh, well, you got to, when you're in the NFL and you get fired, you don't think about it the way your friends tell you and go, well, hey, man, at least you got to play, man. You made it that far.
No doubt.
It's not how you're thinking.
Right. Right? No doubt.
No.
And you don't want to
think sucks.
That way. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm moving back in with my parents.
Right.
So, but when you go through that process, knowing that I'm going to handle success really well, I'm going to handle adversity really well, then it just becomes a series of highs and lows throughout your career. And I look back on it and I can genuinely say, I totally enjoyed the whole process.
That's awesome. And I was someone, as you look at that football game where I had success in adversity, I've always been someone that handles adversity really well. Mm-hmm. But through my career, I had to learn into my 30s, right? Because I lost everything. I didn't know how to handle success. Mm-hmm. And as you said that, I'm like, energetically, it showed on the field. Right? The flip when I came back and won the game for us, I didn't know how to handle the success. And as I made millions of dollars in my 20s and retired in my 30s, I didn't know how to handle success. And now that radical humility to handle this, I've always been able to handle adversity, right? I'm a never quit guys because I wasn't born with, I'm like you. I have all these brothers that were academically so superior and I just knew I'm not born with the gifts, but I had one thing, I wasn't going to quit and I can handle adversity. That's a great point. I'm going to end on this question, which is always my favorite question. You know, you have a great family, which is awesome. You have a great profession and a great hobby in inspiring others. What legacy does Jordan Palmer want to leave when it's all over?
You know, I think I do one thing in both sides of my life on the business side of things. You know, we've got between the couple of businesses that we have, there's probably 150 employees. And then I don't know how many quarterbacks I've worked with. But what I want to do is the fact that I've never started an NFL game and I can train the Sam Darnolds, the Deshaun Watsons, I train Carson.
Yeah.
Right. the fact that I can help those players shows you, and the foundation that I work with, a local charity called the Jesse Reese Foundation. And if you've seen bracelets and Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, Sam Darnold, these guys are all wearing these blue wristbands that say NIGU, never, ever give up. And this little 11-year-old girl lost a battle of cancer, but she started this charity in a 5-month period. And so similar commonality between Jesse Reese and her foundation that she started 5 or 6 years ago, what I do in football and what I do in business is I want to be able to empower the people that I work with, the younger guys that I'm mentoring, to let them know that, listen, if I can make this big an impact in your world, and you're a superstar quarterback and I never even started a game in the league, if I can make this kind of impact in your life, imagine what you can do.
That's awesome.
And the young guys, young guy Peter who works with me, like if you can learn this much and grow and look at the world through this lens, man, imagine what you're going to do over the next 30 years. Because you're way more talented at this, this, and this than me. And so I think it's that legacy of it's not, I don't want people to memorize a quote that I gave and spread it on Instagram for the rest of their lives. I want them to teach them how to fish. And I want them to learn that, like, look, they have this platform and you can affect a lot of people around you if you're living in your gift and you're super confident and super passionate and dreaming really big. You can affect a lot of people around you. And that may sound really cheesy, but I've just seen this be the case. Every year I see it be the case.
It's like looking in a bigger, better looking mirror, just listening to you, because we share so many of these philosophies. Mm-hmm. And mine, like yours, is to empower others to be happy, mm-hmm. right? And that's really what you do. And Mount Summit's just the summit of what you do. I am forever a friend, and I'm here of service to you because you have earned my respect, and we're blessed to be around some greats, people. But behind those greats are some people that just have a good perspective and awareness, and you're one of them. And it's a blessing to have you on here to be your friend and to hopefully be your business associate, because I always like to grab onto
there's
the guys
to work
that get
on.
It.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah.
Make a lot of money, help a lot of people, have a lot of fun. This is Dave Meltzer with Jordan Palmer, and we're with Entrepreneur The Playbook. Playbook is produced by Nathan Lotka, and our media partner is Entrepreneur.com. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday when we feature another story on how a sports icon went from the playing field to the boardroom.